rarely I say this for guests. We are going through a book of the Bible in this case. We've been going through Luke on one day. The book of Luke, I keep cutting out. I don't know what's happening here. But we going through Luke on one Sunday, and then we go through Proverbs the next in a row. Proverbs. Did I just say what I said? We're going through 1 Samuel, doing that on radio, and in that rotation. But these are special messages that relate to our mission's theme. In connection with that, I want to make an evangelism initiative announcement. The missions ministry has set up, and I think it's a good thing, and we're going to make it mandatory for new members, a class that will begin Sunday, March 2nd, and it will be taught by John Dotson during the second hour of our church services. This class, I must tell you, has been tested by members of the missions ministry and other interested members here at Lake, and all of them strongly endorse this class based upon their experience. A must class for our membership, they said. So we hope that you will be as serious about it as this mission's emphasis. By the way, our next new members class, in case you're interested, will be Sunday, March 2nd. You'll see that in your bulletin. So we invite you to attend those classes, and also the International Potluck, which will be next Sunday evening. You'll hear more about the various missions that we are involved in. Okay, we continue now with our short course on spiritual growth. Last Sunday kind of threw us. Since we didn't meet, we'll have to make some adjustments. But if it's not obvious to you from looking at the themes, what this has to do with missions, our mission, I like to say, not missions, but our mission, let me explain. Growing disciples are typically going, by that I mean dynamic disciples, and going disciples are gathering disciples. What I have found over the years is that invested disciples are those who make a Sunday morning difference. Not everybody who comes to a church and professes to be a Christian does that. In every church, some are make-believers, some are kind of sick and disabled, and others are out there and they're carrying the weight. These dynamic disciples, I have learned, share certain common denominators. There might have been exceptions, but I can't think of them. And if you and I aspire to be one of those, and if we don't aspire to be one of those, that calls everything into question. There are four habits that they share. If you want to be what I call a dynamic disciple, an invested disciple who is a going disciple and a gathering disciple, you are one who has a cutting edge in the cause for Christ. We talked last week, or the week before last, we didn't meet last week, about the silencing the barking dog. They are people who take their conscience seriously, and they do everything to keep it clear, and when it's not clear, they deal with that in a biblical way. Now today, we're going to talk about learning the playbook. I'm excising for now that last part, communicating regularly for the sake of time, because I really want to emphasize the front end of this message. Learn the playbook. Now, let's read Hebrews chapter 4 before we get started. Hebrews chapter 4, not the whole chapter, but verse 12. So let me get to that text. This new Bible frustrates me a little bit. I've got that old one, which is tattered, many of you have seen. All right, Hebrews chapter 12. For the word of God, did I say Hebrews chapter 12? This message, trust me. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is alive And it's active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of the soul and the spirit as deeply and precisely as it could possibly go. The dividing of the joints and the marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. When this message is finished, I hope you will understand not just one thing, but many. But I hope you will understand why, till my dying breath, we are committed in this church. I wish this could be said of all churches. It's just not true anymore. We are committed to teaching the Word of God. But I hope you will also understand that you cannot depend upon that for your feeding. I hope you will understand why it is so important for you personally to be invested in the study of the Word of God and why you must saturate your mind with the Scriptures, which unfortunately a lot of people do not do as they ought. A very talented and skillful college football player sometimes don't get on the field, at least not as often as their native talents would suggest. And sometimes that's because they do not know their playbook. You'll get some five-star athlete in college, for example, and he goes off to U of O or OSU or wherever. And everybody expects him just to come in and blow everybody away, and he doesn't. And people will inquire, well, is he not as talented as you? Yeah, he's very talented, but he doesn't know the playbook yet. Yeah. Thus impaired, they become more liabilities than assets on the field of play, despite their natural gifts. If they were put out there, their presence in the game would result in what we call busted plays, and those often result in turnovers and unfortunately lost games. In this same vein, some years back, some of you would know nothing about this, but you'll understand the illustration. Others of you know it very well. There was a player from Louisiana. They won the NCAA championship that year. His name was DeMarcus Russell. Went to LSU. He was a college phenom at quarterback. He was number one in the NFL draft. The Oakland Raiders claimed him, and they felt that he was going to be the second coming of their glory days. He was so powerful. Arm strength is really big in NFL football. And it was reported that Russell, from his knees, could heave a football 70 yards. I can tell you one thing, in my day at least, most guys could not heave a football 70 yards standing straight up. Yet, Russell was called just recently one of the greatest busts in recent years. Why? I quote, he was uncoachable and lazy. What does that have to do with our message? Learn the playbook. Well, many Christians who do not get invested in God's Word are in effect spiritually uncoachable, and they're lazy. And if that's one of you, I do not withdraw those words for 1 minute. Everyday distractions, man or woman, are more interesting or more important to them than digging into God's Word. As a result, like athletes, they are reduced to bench warmers or spectators in the spiritual battle. They may be very churchy and may go to events and all that stuff. But unfortunately, in the pursuit of God's mission here on earth, they are what I call wordless. disciples, if you can even call them disciples, and they are strong words, but it's true, next to worthless in the battle. That's why I'm talking about this. This is a discipline we must cultivate, and there are a lot of passages I could have gone to, but I chose Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and following, because, man, it puts things in the perspective that they need to be put in. Let me give you a little bit of the literary context before we jump right into the text. These were first-generation Hebrew Christians that our writer, who it was, is debated. He wanted to speak to these people because they were like a lot of modern church people. They were sluggish in their faith. He tells us that flat out. He was very concerned about which way these people were going. In fact, in chapter 5, right at the end, I'll use a phrase that was his. He said, when it came to the Word of God, boy, this resonates. When it came to the Word of God, they were dull of hearing. They were the kind who sit in church, come out of a knee-jerk reflex. When's it going to be done? Really? Let me say, in this church, not to say that everybody's where we ought to be, but over the years, one of the major criticisms I've had from time to time is when I've tried to shorten my messages. And some people get downright mad. Or when I say I'm editing a lot of this out, they say, Jim, finish. And that makes me proud of the spirit of this congregation in general. These Hebrew Christians had therefore, because they had become dull of hearing the Word of God, they had regressed. That happens in their spiritual understanding. And he says, by the time, I'm using my language, by the time you people ought to be players, you're bystanders. You're next to worthless in the spiritual battle. So he comes in with a little shock therapy. And he's telling them here in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 and following, next couple of verses, people, you need to understand what you're dealing with. Now, let me try to set this up just a little bit, if I can. Here's a bit of our problem, all of us. We come in here, I can stick this in so I don't, just a minute, so I don't lose my place. And we're deceived. I don't mean fatally, but we're kind of deceived. We got a book here. Page after, ooh, it's a big book. Locked in, preserved between covers. It's a book. The world is full of books. Little books, big books, but full of books. And the pages are full of words. And the words are grammatically arranged in coherent sentences, and those sentences into paragraphs and chapters, but it's a book. Ho hum, it's a book. Okay, it's the scriptures. They're holy writings. I guess because God had something. It's a book. And we get in our Bible studies and everything else, and we want, well, and that's not always wrong, but we tend to want something else. We tend to want what I call coffee table scholarship. Pardon the phrase, but Christian crap. Just almost anything but digging into the scriptures. Now, there's a time for that. There's a time for reading my books, but not before the scriptures. Absolutely not. I want to help you understand why because this is something I don't think the average person gets. What does he tell us about the scriptures? He says, when it comes to the Bible, this is not exactly what he says. It was in scrolls in those days, or written on parchments or papyri. But I'm going to be a little anachronistic and put it in our times. When you come to the Bible, don't be fooled by its outward appearance. This is not like any other literature you've ever held in your hand or ever laid eyes on or ever heard read to you. It is not. It is something beyond unique. And you must understand that, and in understanding that, understand why you need to be invested in it. I speak to men especially because I think maybe you've heard me say, men are terrible, women aren't too good, they read a lot of garbage. But men are terrible, they don't like to read much at all. And we better ditch that habit. Because God has provided for us means of grace so that we might grow and surge and become dynamic and become game breakers. People who make a difference. And the only way that's going to happen is if certain other things happen, and one of them is to get invested in the Word of God. You say, well, okay, why? First of all, he says, notice, about the attributes of the scriptures. A lot of great literature in the world. I've read every line of Shakespeare's plays. I don't remember them. But I've read every line of them, and they're great, and I enjoyed them thoroughly. I've read Plutarch. I've read Aristotle. I've read Plato. I've read all that stuff. You can go on and on. I go look at the great books, and I've read a lot of them. Don't remember them. But I've read a lot of that stuff, a lot of the world's great literature. And it jazzes me sometimes. Sometimes I wonder why this is great literature. Seriously. But it's said to be, and I've read a lot of it. But let me tell you something they are not. Artfully written by men or women of prodigious minds, but not a one of them can claim this attribute. They are not living. The Word of God is living. Living. And I say this reverently, oh my God, that makes all the difference in the world. And I'll draw that out in a minute. Living. I've written several books and not a one of them is living. They are living because the Word of God is invested with His very Spirit. A little stock illustration I use is dry yeast. Little grains, and they look so dead. Like you pick up the Bible, it just looks like another dead book. But you put it in a little bit of water, and you put it in flour, and all of a sudden, it begins to grow and expand. It's alive. When you bring your mind and heart to the Word of God, you are interacting with something that is supernaturally alive. You don't see it, you don't feel it, but it is. Now let me tell you why this is so important. You say, but Jim, I don't remember all of that. There's so much. I don't either. I've got an illustration here. I asked Brian to work up for me. You got it up there, guys? It's not the bricks. Here we go. Thank you. Now, this is a river. This is, go ahead, next slide. This is a stream of information, and I don't want to give you the impression that the Bible's just information. This is generic. This is my mind, your mind. It's the riverbed of your mind. Okay, let's go forward. We're always getting information. I mentioned Shakespeare. Back in college, I read it all. And I really liked it. I said I don't remember it. But I remember this. Lady Macbeth. Out, damn spot, out! She couldn't get rid of her guilt. And other things I remember. And those are little deposits. Those are little deposits from all I read. And every time I read a book. I just finished reading David Horowitz. His book on the radical left. I don't remember all he wrote, but I get these little deposits, things I do remember and impressions, and they become sediment in this brain, which is not necessarily the biggest brain in the room, but they become sedimentary deposits of knowledge, of influences, of insights, and they land there. Then I read other things. Keep her moving now, guys. Other things. Let's go on. Building up newspapers or magazines. Keep it moving. Then somebody reads something I've written. Well, there are not too many deposits maybe there, but it is possible. It is possible that something will land there on the, you forget most of that. In fact, I know some of you have forgotten a lot of my first book because you answer questions and I say, I've already answered that. You know, but that's the way it is and I understand that. And you're building up sediment down there. My mind, your mind, all of us. And I'm going to relate this back to Scripture. You build up a lot of sediment. Knowledge, impressions, influences, things like that, insights. But you don't remember all of that. That's why you don't hear too much from me. Sermons, pastors, they'll do their sermons and they're trying to teach the Word of God and they'll have their three little points all azonated, you know, or alliterated or something like that. If they think people are going to remember that, they're delusional. They're not. Sometimes pastors can't remember from one Sunday to the next what they preached last Sunday, what they preached and they prepared the message. It's the way the mind works, unless, of course, you are somebody with photographic memory. Yes, right there's one. And then we come to the Scriptures. And we come to the Scriptures. I don't remember everything. I go through the Bible about once a year. I don't remember everything that I've read in the Scriptures. I've been in the Psalms recently, about 10 Psalms a day. I'll get through. I don't remember everything that is there. But everything that is there leaves a deposit, and it builds up that sediment. And that becomes the whole corpus of the way you look at the world and things like that. Okay, now, are there any more slides I don't remember? I think that's it. Okay, that's my model. That's the way most of us learn. Now listen. When we get invested in the Scripture, the sediment that builds up the cross represents the spiritual input of the Scripture. It builds up in our minds and filters even deeper down into our hearts. And the thing is, this is the critical thing, it's alive. And in unbelievers, it comes in and finds a heart that God's working in and regenerates them. And in us, it begins to renew us and reshape our outlook. I've been here for so long and I've seen many of you change. And it's been because of this, because the Word of God is alive. And the secondary quality, because it is alive, it is active. It is active. There's a word we get, this Greek word is energēs. Does that remind you of anything? Energy. We get our English word energy from that. The Word of God is living. It's organic. It is creative. Did you get it, folks? It is creative. It's a creative force in your life. And when you're in it and you're invested in it, you don't realize that it is happening. But it is reshaping you. It is active like dry yeast. It is energase. And it's hard to remain the same person. It just reshapes you. And it's penetrating. Penetrating? Yeah, penetrating. That's what it says. It pierces. You could go to every psychologist known to man. They would never find you where the scriptures do. The scriptures, they're living and they're active and they're penetrating. And they reveal God to you. But they also reveal you and me to each other and to ourselves. We can run, this text says, but we cannot hide. It pierces like a sword. It goes down to the, and he's trying to get across, just as deep as it can go and just as finely as it can cut, because it's living, because it's invested with the Spirit of God like no other book. It goes down and it slices it very fine, and it goes down and it finds Jim Andrews where he is. Listen, you can fool all the people some of the time, you've heard this, and some of the people all the time, but when we're in God's Word, we can't fool ourselves for long. Because God has a way of exposing me to myself, and it humbles me. And when it humbles me, it causes me to appreciate His mercy and His grace and His love. And I begin to see God for what He is. Read the Psalms. Read those high views of God. And the higher view of God I've got, the more motivated, more incentivized I am to get on the playing field. To get on the playing field. And to be a disciple. And to be a force for Christ. Because it's living. It's alive. It's active. Energase. Energetic. Penetrating. Finding all the dark corners where I try to hide from myself and others. It's kind of a spiritual burlesque. And I need that. And you need that. You can read books till the cows come home, but nothing like the scriptures. Because it's supernatural. It's living, it's organic, it's a creative force. It's an exposing force in our lives. Why don't we get in it? Well, this has to be short, not necessarily sweet, but this has to be short. We're too busy. You're not too busy. Oh, Jim, you don't know what all I have to do. Give me a break. Every one of us in this room find time to do what we want to do. And we especially find time to do what we need to do. We make time. It's really because we don't think it's all that important. And the thrust of this message is to try to show you that the scriptures are utterly unique. And that's what I depend upon when I get up here on Sunday mornings. I'm spoon feeding you. I can't do what you need to do for yourself. But I'm trying to get you to taste the scriptures and see that they are good. And let God work in your life. We could get up here, we could jam, we could have music, we could blast your ears out. We could go into the entertainment mode. you'd see a lot more people than you see here. That's what a lot want. I say this in light of the fact I've written a book on marriage, you know. But we could get up here and talk about marriages and self-esteem and all that kind of thing. We'd get a lot more people. We're not going there. Those things need to be talked about in their proper place and time. We need to get in the Word of God, and we need to look up. And we need to really look within and be searched. And be searched. I need it. You need it. That's why you need to be in the Scriptures. The Bible says, Isaiah chapter 55, something happens. It says that just as the rain and the snow comes down, so God send forth his word, and the rain and the snow, they bring forth what they're supposed to bring forth on the earth. Well, when God sends his word, just like's happening now, you don't feel anything necessarily, you don't sense anything, but God's word is going forth, and it's bringing forth exactly what God intended. And somebody's out there, I don't mean necessarily you, somebody's out there, God's word is doing exactly what it's intended to do. Somebody, who needs, And God's forth is going, and it's hardening, and it's hardening, and it's hardening, and it's hardening. It's accomplishing what God sent it forth to do. I don't give a rip. That's sometimes why God sends it forth. He sends forth his word to build up. On the other hand, he sends forth his word where necessary to tear down. He sends forth his word sometimes to heal. He sends forth his word sometimes to hurt, depending on the set of the heart. But when I or any other minister gets up here and honestly preach the word of God, it goes forth. And it may appear like seed just scattered here and there just to fail. It does not fail. It's accomplishing something here and there and somewhere else. And sometimes it just bursts into bloom, germinates and bursts into bloom 5 years from now. Jim, I remember one time you said, do you remember? No, I don't have the slightest memory. Well, you did. And that germinated there and burst into bloom. It's not reshaping the world, but it reshapes some lives and reformats them. Folks, if we're going to be players, if we're going to get on the field, if we're going to have a cutting edge, I tell you, you must be men and women of the Word. Read everything else, that's fine. But in all your reading, get invested in God's Word first. Don't be churchy. Be Christian. You have the time. Somebody says, well, Jim, there's another problem that you missed. You see, Pastor, I read the Word sometimes. I don't understand it. I'll share with you something that D.L. Moody one time said. Those of you who don't know that name of another generation, he was the Billy Graham. He was speaking to a woman in England, and she came up to him after a service, and she says, Mr. Moody, sir, I'd like to ask you a question. He says, what's that, ma'am? She said, the Bible. What do you do with all the stuff you don't understand? Moody said, ma'am, do you like chicken? She said, well, yes, of course. He said, what do you do with the bones? She said, well, I just move those to the side of the plate. do the same thing with the scriptures. Get in and read and respond to what you do understand. And move the other things to the side of the place. Before I finish, let me introduce you for your encouragement to what's called the, it has a technical name, but it's a simple idea, the hermeneutical circle. It's the interpretive circle. And here's the way it works. You understand the whole by better understanding the parts, and you understand the parts better by understanding the whole. What that means is you get into the Bible and there's a lot you don't understand, but you just keep going ahead. And as you go ahead, you're getting a better understanding of the whole. Then you get a better understanding of the parts. Then the parts help you with an understanding of the whole. Then on and on and on and on. And gradually you grow and you understand. I get it. Oh, I didn't. I now see that and I understand it. Don't let the devil buffalo you with that kind of thing. You have the time, and understanding is not an issue. And ask the Spirit of God to give you understanding. And if you want it, you'll get it. Let's be men and women of the Word. Let's not be that contradiction in term that I call wordless disciples. Just churchy people who are not really involved. We are men and women of the Word. We're men and women of the book. Spurgeon said this one time. I want to quote it exactly, so let me find it here. I put it in bold somewhere. Yes, I did. Anyway, without delaying things, he said, find me somebody whose Bible is falling apart, and I will assure you they are not. Find me somebody whose Bible is falling apart, I will assure you they are not. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have deposited with us through holy men of old your word, which is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating where no other influence or human being could ever go. Now, our Father, help us to appreciate that your word is beyond unique, and that in all of our reading and all of our learning and all of the influences we come across, to understand that there is nothing like the scriptures, and to be not to be uncoachable and lazy disciples, but to be men and women who sit at the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ and the apostles and the prophets, and we learn and we grow, and we're on the cutting edge and we make a difference. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.